When you think of opera, what comes to mind? High society, tales of tragedy and love, maybe boredom. Whatever you think it of, it's probably not this.
Okay, now we're going to have some more performances from women with very, very large breasts. Here's Micheline!
The controversial TV mainstay, The Jerry Springer Show, and its topics of transvestites, two-timing pole dancing, and misbehaving lovers is apparently right at home in the National Theatre in London. Jerry Springer, the opera, opened to ecstatic reviews there that last week. A number of dates are already sold out. Joining us to talk about the production is David Benedict, a freelance theater critic and a contributor to the newspaper The Independent and the Wall Street Journal's Europe edition. He joins us by phone from his home in London. Thanks for being with us on Talk of the Nation.
Hello.
How did Jerry Springer get made into an opera, and especially in England?
Jerry Springer, the TV show, is well known over here. It's not, I don't think, quite as much of a mainstay of the broadcasting schedules as it may be over there, but it's known. And 3 years ago, a composer called Richard Thomas had the rather brilliant idea of setting the show to music, and that's pretty much what's happened. It's been developed over 3 years. From very small scale to medium scale, and now, as you say, it's arrived at the National Theatre.
A concert version, I guess, opened up the Edinburgh Fringe Festival some time ago?
That's right. Last summer, it was staged up at Edinburgh in a concert version. Jerry Springer himself flew in to see it, gave it the thumbs up, and so it proceeded, and the National Theatre snapped it up.
Well, is this an operatic recreation of the show? What happens in it?
The first half of the show is indeed an operatic recreation of the Jerry Springer show. You've got members of a 33-strong cast playing studio audience who chant Jerry, and loads of people in the auditorium on the press night were also chanting. And then everybody else plays characters on the show who get more and more extraordinary, as characters on the Jerry Springer show generally do. And then in the second half, we find Jerry Springer in hell with his soul and his morality being fought over by Satan and God. So, you know, run-of-the-mill kind of stuff.
Now, if he could book guests like that, it would be a much higher-brow show.
Well, indeed. I mean, much of the show is a kind of satire on Jerry Springer, but it also looks at the morality of whether we should implicate ourselves in the fact that we watch it, and it's difficult to get too sneery about white trash culture or confessional TV, because millions of people are watching it and enjoying it on whatever level, so we're as implicated in what's going on as Jerry himself may be.
Describe one of your favorite scenes for us.
Oh, there are too many to go into. I mean, the great thing about it is the title, which sounds so incongruous, but in fact you realize within about 30 seconds that A, it's very, very funny when you've got a chorus of people shouting, a chorus of people singing, "My mom used to be my dad," you realize the kind of thing that you're going to be in for. But in fact, it's a terribly good idea, because people in operas stand about singing about extreme emotions and the things that they love and the things that they're passionate about and the things that they hate, and that's exactly what people do on the Jerry Springer show. I mean, there are great scenes. There's an extraordinary scene where a woman reveals that all her life she's been married to a terrible man, a redneck, and then she decides that really she wants to be a pole dancer. So she starts to sing this extraordinary operatic aria about wanting to be a pole dancer, and just as you're falling around laughing, you suddenly realize that it has great pathos. I think that's one of the great skills of the show, is that it works on so many surprising levels.
Is this, you know, would you walk out humming the tunes?
I think you kind of walk out humming the whole thing. You don't hum tunes, because unlike, say, a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical or a more contemporary musical, there aren't the same tunes repeated again and again and again. It's not verse, chorus. It is much closer to real operatic writing. That said, you can hear bits of Bach in a sort of fake Bach chorale where Jerry becomes Jerry Eleison, and you can hear bits of Burt Bacharach. You can hear everything in between. You'll probably end end up possibly singing one of the couplets, which is, "This is my Jerry Springer moment, so dip me in chocolate and throw me to the lesbians. I don't want this moment to die."
Okay.
So I think you get a general idea of what's been going on here.
Well, I wish we had some of the music to play, but it's not been released, or at least not as yet. We just have a couple of seconds left. We mentioned the reviews are ecstatic. How are sales doing?
Sales are doing well. It is a terribly, terribly expensive show. There's a band of eight, a cast of 33, plus four covers, etc., etc., etc. Its future will depend on audience response, but so far it is, I think, ecstatic, just about covers it.
David Benedict, thanks very much.
Many thanks.
David Benedict is a freelance theater critic. He was with us by phone from London. Jerry Springer, the opera, is scheduled to run through August at London's National Theater. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.